I invite you to turn again to Mark, the 10th chapter, and we'll be considering a rather brief portion of this chapter today, verses 13 through 16, beginning at verse 13. This is God's inspired and inerrant word. And they were bringing children to him that he might touch them, and the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the children come to me, do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." And he took them in his arms, blessed them, laying his hands on them. So far in God's word, let us pray. Oh, Father, we pray that by your Spirit working through your word, you would instruct our hearts and our minds and give us the desire, O Lord, to love what you love, to delight in what you delight in. For we ask all these things in the precious name of Christ. Amen. I'm probably pretty safe in saying that at some point in your life, you have been frustrated or annoyed by kids, maybe by your own kids or by others. I'm sure some of you have probably been in a grocery store, a shopping mall, on an airplane, or in some other circumstance in which you become annoyed when you hear a child crying or acting up. How easy it is for us to react with frustration and annoyance. How tempting when children come up with enthusiasm and excitement and joy to tell us something that is so important to them. How tempting it is for us, and how many times I wonder have I gone about my own business, rather ignoring what they had to say and really not listening. How easy it is just to brush them off as though they're unimportant. And so it's very important for us as we come to this text to see the way in which Jesus not only embraces children, but sets them before us as an example and elevates them. Jesus has much to teach us about children and their importance. The event that occurs here, the way in which these parents, we assume, are bringing their children, is that they are bringing them, it appears, to a house. If you look back to verse 10, you'll be reminded, in the house the disciples asked him again about the matter, and he said to them, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery," and so forth. He is speaking and instructing in a house. And it appears to be that while he's in this house, parents are bringing their children, their little children, their infants to Jesus. These are not children that are old enough to come on their own, but they're being brought to Jesus. We're not sure exactly why they started to come. We're not told. It appears that perhaps one started to do it, and then they told another, and before long there were many who were bringing their children to Jesus to have him bless them. It's not at all evident that they were coming because they were looking for some magical event to take place. Because if that was the case, I'm sure Jesus wouldn't have laid his hands on one of them. These children, these little children, were being brought to Jesus and were looking for a touch of the Master. And we're told here that the disciples tried to prevent them from coming. Verse 13, they were bringing children to him that he might touch them, and the disciples rebuked them. This is a hard word, a difficult word. They were charging them sharply not to bring their children to Jesus. No doubt they were trying to prevent Jesus from being disturbed by these parents and children. And no doubt there was some selfishness in it as well. They wanted to be prevented from these children coming to them. We're not told their intention, but it doesn't really matter. What matters is that they were out there, presumably, before the children were brought into the house, they were out there rebuking the parents and telling them not to bring or to stop bringing their children. And it was on this occasion that he instructs us with regard to the importance of children. Now, earlier we had seen the disciples doing a very similar thing in John chapter 6. He wanted to send some of them away. Remember, the disciples wanted to send them away for food, and here they wanted to send the children away. But Jesus takes the opportunity to teach not only his disciples, but to teach us. And we see here, first of all, that Jesus welcomes the children. He says in verse 14, after it says that he became indignant, he said to them, "Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God." Earlier in chapter 9, you'll remember, Jesus said, "Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me." And now again, Jesus is indicating by his indignation at his disciples that he holds children in the highest regard. A study of the gospel accounts will only further illustrate this reality. I want to just go to a couple in John chapter 16. And I want to look at verse 21. He speaks of the woman who is giving birth. And he says that when a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. Jesus speaking of a woman who is giving birth and the child labor and the pain and the sorrow. But when the child comes, what exceeding great joy. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 11 and verse 7, Jesus speaks of a father in the midst of an illustration. He's speaking of a father who is cuddling his children. He's with his children when someone comes and asks for food. And in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 7 and verse 9, the father listens to his child's request when the child seeks a good gift and the father gives it to him. Jesus states here that of such is the kingdom of God. Now the kingdom of God is the rule and the reign of God in the hearts of his people. It's the extension of his grace and his mercy. As William Hendrickson says in this context, is the principle of the blessings of salvation belong even now to these little ones. A fact that was to be realized progressively on earth and perfectly hereafter. But we may ask the question, what does it mean to such belong the kingdom? Is it just to children? No. It is to all who, like children, humbly trust in Christ. How important to recognize that whether a child or an adult, the way to come to Jesus is with sincere, humble, trusting faith. There's no other way. Jesus is here elevating children to the level of being an example. Normally we think of the adults being examples to the children. But here, the children are serving as an example to the adults. And he elevates them and makes it perfectly clear how significant they really are. It was the children who were included under the covenant blessing in the Old Testament. And Jesus is here reminding us that children are essential and an important part of the kingdom. They're not to be forbidden from coming. Many years ago, I heard of a minister who's been deceased for some time now, but who wanted no children in the church. He was frustrated and annoyed when he heard any noise, and so the associate pastor told me his wife's job was to make sure that his children were silent. There is no greater blessing, dear friends, Jesus says here, than to welcome the children. And as faithful as that minister was on many other fronts, he erred at this point. Oh, what a joy it is to see children in the life of the church. It speaks not only of the heart of our Savior, but it speaks of the kingdom of God. And oh, how we should pray for hearts like Jesus, receptive of the children. I'll never forget an incident in my own life when the elders of our previous church were all gathered together for prayer with their wives and our children, very young at the time. And in the midst of that time, one of the other ministers who was there asked, do we have items for prayer? Philip was just a little boy, and he said, well, I have something, about 2 years old. And I tried to brush him off. We had more important things to pray about. And he started to cry. And then dear Kay said, of course we want to hear your prayer requests. It cut to the heart. I've never forgotten it. And it's a reminder to us of how easily we can push aside children when our Lord and Savior welcomes them and loves them in His very presence. Jesus welcomed children. And then He stated, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. We need to understand, first of all, what Jesus does not mean. He does not mean that we need to be childish or childlike in order to receive the kingdom of God. The Apostle Paul, of course, you know, in 1 Corinthians 13, talks about giving up childish things. When I was a child, I thought like a child. I spoke like a child. He's not speaking about being childish here. He's not speaking about innocence. You and I know very well that even young children are not innocent. It does not suggest, as one commentator says, the wondrous subjective states we often find in children, such as trustfulness, receptivity, simplicity, or wonder, beautiful as those things may be. So if that's not the case, if it's not their subjective emotional state, if it's not their innocence, which does not exist, if it's not being childlike, what does it mean that in order to receive the kingdom, we must receive it like a child? The only thing that it can possibly mean is that children enter the world helpless. They are completely and fully dependent for their existence on others. And friends, that is the way we are to receive the kingdom. Utterly, humbly, sincerely, helplessly dependent upon God. Some of our hymns actually speak to this. A mighty fortress is our God, says this. Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. Were not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing? Thus asked who that may be, Christ Jesus, it is He. Lord Sabaoth, His name from age to age the same, and He must win the battle. We don't confide in our own strength. If we do, we will lose. Or this great hymn, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Naked, come to thee for dress. Helpless, look to thee for grace. Friend, let me assure you today that what is most necessary is that you come to Christ in the same way that children were brought to Him, in utter and complete dependence upon Him and upon His grace. The disciples were being reminded, and we are being reminded, that there's nothing we have to offer except for our sin. We come to Christ in complete dependence upon Him, trusting Him for every hour of every day. And it's not simply in the crisis that we are to turn to Jesus and then after the crisis become self-reliant, but it is every day that we arise from our beds that we need to draw close to Christ. That we need to seek by every appointment to depend upon Him for His grace. Jesus welcomed them, set them before us as an example, and then we're told here in verse 16, He took them in His arms and He blessed them. Literally, He was taking them in His arms and He was blessing them. The picture is one of them bringing children to Jesus and Him taking each one in His arms and blessing each one. We're not told here the content of the blessing and the benediction that He offers over them. We're just simply told that He laid His hands on them and He blessed them. And it wasn't through the laying on of hands that the blessing was conferred, but rather He spoke the blessing upon them. He pronounced the benediction upon them. No doubt there was not a child that it was brought to Him that was left behind. He embraced them. He had elevated them to a position of high importance. He gave them His benediction. And each one that was brought to Him received a blessing. Oh, how important children are. For they serve as an example to us. An example of our need for the complete dependence we have upon the grace of God in Christ. And they remind us that Jesus cares for their souls. Let me ask you today, are children important to you? They were to Jesus. There is so much that you and I can learn from children. How often we think we need to be the ones instructing, but understand this, that we can be taught from them. Charles Spurgeon, the great Baptist preacher and evangelist extraordinaire, said this, I will say broadly that I have more confidence in the spiritual life of the children that I have received into this church than I have in the spiritual condition of all the adults thus received. I will even go further than that and say that I have usually found a clearer knowledge of the gospel and a warmer love to Christ in the child that converts than in the man who converts. I will even astonish you, he says, still more by saying that I have sometimes met with a deeper spiritual experience in children of 10 and 12 than I have in certain persons of 50 and 60. What a remarkable statement. Spurgeon, who saw his church grow under the gospel, people coming to faith in Christ, makes a strong statement that he has seen in children stronger spiritual condition than he has seen in adults, and a warmer love for Christ. Friends, as we think about this text, and I pray that you'll think about it through the week and not just today, but I pray that you will seek to uphold children as those whom Christ loves. I instruct myself as I instruct you. And that we would not only hold them as an example before us, but that we would be willing to be taught by them the great truths, the great, wonderful, glorious truth, the simple truth of loving and depending upon Jesus Christ as our only means for salvation and as the joy of our hearts. Let us pray. Oh, gracious Father, help us to long to be like children, depending fully upon you moment by moment and hour by hour, seeking your benediction, committing our very lives to Christ, who is our life. Bless us in him, we pray. Amen.